Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Where Is There podcast.
I'm Jay O'Hare here with Todd Musselman.
Jay, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. This is pretty exciting because it's episode number one.
Indeed. I think we're going to do 10,000 hours worth of content.
10,000 hours worth of content. That's pretty extraordinary, Todd.
Well, you know, if we do that, then we'll be outliers.
We'll be outliers.
Yeah, you know, well, 10,000 hours of anything puts you in that elite category of being an
outlier. Oh, yes, yes. Malcolm Gladwell. Yes, you'd be an expert at 10,000 hours and that sort of thing. Got it.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're lucky enough to stay with us for 10,000 hours, you'll be like 170.
Yeah, there you go.
That'll be great.
It
encompasses a little over 2,000 episodes, I think.
2,000 episodes.
Yeah.
So this is episode one.
Yeah.
This is, what do they say about the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step.
This is the first step, Jay.
this is the first step. It's very exciting,
yeah.
So in this first step, you have titled this episode, The Truth.
Hmm.
And this is so that people can come here and get the truth? Is that what this is about?
Yeah, I definitely have the truth, Jay.
Yeah. So talk about how you have the truth there, Todd.
You know that I don't have the truth. That's the whole point of this episode, is to lay a context that I don't have the truth. I have a perspective. That's all I have. I think it's important to make that distinction between the truth and my truth, because inside of that distinction, there's a lot of things that happen. And when I come with the belief that I have the truth, my experience would say some things happen and they're not very positive.
So the truth...
Hmm.
And my truth, when you're saying the truth, it's like, this is the only way that it can be. This is the only way it can be.
Yeah. I have the answer.
Yeah. Whereas my truth is...
I'm open to possibility. I'm open. I come with an open heart and an open mind. Let's start there.
Yeah.
You know, I think whenever I do that in my life, when I come with an open heart and an open mind, things go well. When I come with the belief that I have the truth, things typically don't go well.
Mm.
I create disconnection. All the love and affinity in the room kind of evaporates. And, in my experience, if I did a root cause analysis of all the conflicts in my life, most of them were a result of the truth. In other words, either I came to the conversation believing I had the truth, or the other person did, or maybe we both did. And the moment that happens... we have entrenchment, we have a lack of compromise, we have a lack of sharing of ideas, everything shuts down.
Mm.
And, you know, most friendships that don't go the distance, they don't go the distance for this reason. Most marriages, that's the same thing, at least in my experience. So why is that so important to set as a context? Because in this series of probably 15 to 20 podcasts encompassing maybe, you know, whatever that is in terms of 30 minutes per podcast, I'm going to say a lot of things, and some of them might land with the listeners and some invariably won't. And my request is the things that land, I ask that you use them in your life, take an action around whatever that is for you. And the things that don't resonate with you, throw them away. Again, I don't have the truth, and I'm certainly not here to win anybody over or prove anything. I'm just here to provide a perspective that some people have found valuable. And that's my goal, is to provide value in these podcasts so that we can make meaningful changes in the areas of our life that matter, like our careers, our marriages with our kids, friendships, whatever that is for anybody that's listening. So that's the kind of the context around why I chose this topic. I'd like to start every podcast with this context because, again, I don't have the truth, Jay.
Yeah. Can you explain that a little bit more? Are there some examples or ways that having the truth shows up in different areas?
Yeah, you know, it's great. Thanks for that question. From a macro level, the truth, if you look at the history of our species, virtually every war has been fought over the truth. And what I mean by that is, way back for millennia, we fought over which God was the true God. And, you know, a lot of blood and sweat and tears have been shed over that argument.
Sure.
Who's the true God? More recently, it went to ethnicities in some cases. Who's the purest? Who is the truest race? Right now, some of it's over economic systems. Who has the best economic system, the truest one? But it's all the wars that they're fought over this thing called the truth, and that's on the macro level, and it goes all the way down to the micro level, all the way down to your bedrooms and your kitchens. Virtually every war that's fought in your homes is fought over the truth.
So any like so what does that mean?
Let me give you an example.
In your house.
Yeah. So I have three teenagers. So that's a big deal. And not too long ago, we had a tragedy before our household. Our dishwasher broke, which was a big deal. And so we did dishes by hand for a couple of weeks, and we got to really appreciate the dishwasher. And so so we finally got the new one in, and I was excited. My wife Beth was excited, and that lasted for about two nights. On the third night, I was loading the dishwasher, and Beth came in, kind of sat back, watched me for a second, then said this to me: hey, you're not doing that right.
You're not
loading it right, as if there's the truth around how to load the dishwasher.
Yes.
And I know some listeners might be saying, well, I was with you for a while, but no, there really is the truth around how to do that. But of course, in my experience, there isn't. But it's funny. I mean, it's a funny example. It's a perspective.
There's a way to do it.
There's a zillion ways to load a dishwasher, and if anybody can actually show me how it's the truth, I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah.
So more importantly, how do you think the rest of the night went? I mean, was I psyched? Thanks, honey, for the feedback. Come over and show me what's the truth?
Yeah.
Not
probably
so much.
Not so much. Yeah.
No. We, fortunately, I kind of chuckled because I have this context in my life. I really got what she was doing, and I just kind of chuckled under my breath. But 5 years ago, before I had this, it would have ended in a fight, a conflict that wasn't good.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm talking about. We're in our marriages, we're in our with coworkers. Where are we doing this inside of our teams that we work with? Our kids. Does that make sense? That's what I'm talking about in terms of the truth. There's facts. Again, there's facts. There's lots of facts.
Sure.
There's things that happen. And then, there's the story we make up around those facts, and that's where it gets squishy. And,
So around the workplace.
Yeah.
How does this show up with coworkers and different things around work and
well, I think we've all been in meetings when somebody comes in, marches in, and pretty much vomits the truth on us. And in other words, it's got to be this way. It can only be this way. And there's no listening of other perspective. It just shuts down the whole thing. Instantly, that wall gets created, and you just watch camps form instantly and in conflict. And, I'm a big believer in disagreement inside of teams. But there's and conflict, but there's two kinds of conflict. There's effective conflict and there's ineffective conflict. And to me, the differentiator there is the truth.
Mm.
If I come with an open heart and an open mind to a meeting, willing to hear another perspective, that meeting is going to go excellent. If I come with the truth, it's got to be this way. That meeting will not go well. So inside of the companies that I work with, I see that a lot. And
Like how so? Is there any examples that people might be able to relate to?
Well, that you've seen? So interestingly, in terms of communication, there's three phrases that are loaded with the truth, and they typically are incredibly toxic to any conversation. And in other words, if you want to shut down a conversation, say one of these three things and watch what happens. So the first one is you should.
You should.
You should. We've all been shit on before, and we don't like it when people shit on us. At least I've never met anybody that likes it, because it's loaded with the truth, and it's essentially saying, I have the truth for you and you're too daft to see it.
Mm.
So that's one. You should. You need to, which is very similar to you should, is another toxic phrase. And the other one is I disagree. I disagree is loaded with the truth. And it instantly creates a right-wrong paradigm, like instantly. And so, you know, the other day I was working inside of a company and corporate meeting, and this guy looked across the table at his coworker and said, "I completely disagree with you." And Jay, I wish I would have had a film crew there, because it was so classic what happened. This woman just shut down and didn't say another word for 20 minutes. And you know, not to be too visceral, but you could literally see her just grinding on this thought: "I wasn't wrong, you son of a bitch." You just, it was just awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and so that, I disagree, it creates a lot of conflict. And again, I love disagreement. But another way of saying that would be, boy, I have a different perspective of that, but tell me more. Or I see that completely different than you do, but, you know, tell me how you see that. Now I have an open heart and an open mind, and I don't have the truth. As far as you should and you need to, you know, there's other ways of saying those two phrases, such as, boy, it might be worth considering. Have you looked at it this way? If it were me, this is the way I'd do it, but what do you think? Those are all different ways of communicating the same message.
It gives the other person some sort of a choice in the matter.
Totally.
Yeah.
I just, you know, one of the you should and you need to, what you're really doing is offering unsolicited advice.
And where do you go from there? Yeah. If there's not an immediate agreement, it's right. Very difficult, yes. Because you're going to get into even more conflict.
And so I mean, listen, I was a serial shoulder, so I know a lot about shoulding. Mm. And you know, I also know that most shoulds and most need to come with the best of intentions, but that's not how they're experienced.
They're received.
Yeah, they're not. In fact, what's funny about you should and you need to is we often do the exact opposite of what somebody tells us we should do, even to our own detriment.
Of course.
I mean, you know, and one of the things I'd say is if any of the listeners have teenagers, so much resistance and resentment is created in that relationship by shooting on our kids.
Mm. And we do it with the best of intentions.
So again, yes.
We have experience. We've been down that road. Oh, we've stepped on that landmine. We've done whatever. And we're just trying to help them avoid whatever that thing is.
Yeah, but that I've never seen that work out so well. So if you're listening to it and you are like, I was a serial shooter, I would just welcome you to consider changing that habit. And it is a habit, Jay.
Yeah.
You know, Stephen Covey said it best. You want to change your life, change your habits.
Mm.
And language is a habit. You know, we've all probably had a favorite catchword in our life that we just habitually said, and it just got so often we said, you know, like you said, I think we were talking earlier, you said, hey, does your teenager say like a lot?
Everything's like.
Like, and so there's a phrase, but you should is like that. You know, it's just a habit, and we can break that habit. I did. It took me a long time. It was a big challenge in my life.
And say again the alternative phrases to that.
You should, you need to be, can be navigated in this way. It might be worth considering. Have you looked at it this way? Gosh, if it were me, this is what I would do, but what do you think? Those are all ways of providing insight and somewhat of advice without actually giving advice. Mm. It makes the other person engaged and has them creating their own outcomes.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it totally makes sense.
And I disagree. My favorite one, boy, I have a different perspective of that, but tell me more. Or I
see it differently.
I see it. You can even say I see it completely differently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm open to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
And so that's underlying all that is the truth. I mean, I have the truth for you. I don't have the truth for anybody. In fact, the thing is, my experience of some people listen to podcasts, they're looking for the truth. If that's the goal, I'm not your guy, because I couldn't possibly have the truth for anybody on this, listening right now.
But you have perspectives.
I do have perspectives, and they're based on lots of experience, not only in the coaching realm, but in the training realm. But that doesn't give me the truth. I don't have the truth.
Yeah.
And it's really important for me to, again, lay that context down for everybody listening. But more importantly, I guess for me, the challenge is, where are you doing that in your life, if you are? Where are you coming with the truth in your marriage, with your kids, with your coworkers? And would you be willing to suspend the belief that you have the truth? Because, again, in my experience, most likely you don't.
But maybe people feel like they really do.
No,
have, like
for
they
sure.
They know that this is the way that it is.
Yeah. Yeah, they know it. And okay, And maybe it's not true that there's no truth. You know, that's the funny part of this whole thing, right? I don't know. But for me, gosh, there's, you know, it's sort of like, how do you swim a golf club? Well, there's a million ways to hit a ball, you know.
And, yeah.
You know, and so, you know, in our in the relative terms and relevance to this conversation, look at our political system right now and what's wrong with it. We have two camps that believe they have the truth.
As if there's
only
the other,
as if there's only one way to do this.
Yeah.
You know, ironically, there's about probably 50 ways we could run this country. There's not only one or two ways.
Yeah.
But how's it going for us?
Mm-hmm.
We have very little compromise, mm-hmm. if at all. We have lots of conflict that isn't going well, and we're stuck.
Yeah.
In many ways. So, what if we applied this? I don't have the truth. I just going to come to this whole thing with an open heart and an open mind. Who would I be then in my life if I did that? Even 5% more, Jay, or 10% more. What if I came at life with the, you know, just this perspective that I'm going to be open-minded and open-hearted 10% more in my life? And again, I'm not recommending that you don't have strong opinions. Gosh, I have lots of them.
Yes.
But I do
but understand.
But
that
I do that see that I don't have the truth.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think certainly is a difference from what a lot of others talk about in these types of podcasts or sessions or things like that, where it's like, here are the five steps to a better life. And if you have to do this and you have to do this and you have to do this. And this is a different, very different approach.
Yeah. I don't, there's not five steps. There's 5 million, and I could put up five steps that are just as right or wrong as the next five steps. You know, it's all made up, lot of it. And I love that about this. So, you know, my goal is to provide some perspectives that might be useful to people such that they can make meaningful changes in their lives. I said that before. I want to say it again. Inside their marriages, inside their careers, with the relationships with their kids, whatever that may be, whatever that touch point is. And this is about creating awareness. This whole podcast journey is about creating awareness, because awareness is the first point of choice.
Yeah.
I can't choose out of something until I'm aware of it. I can't choose out of being triggered until I'm aware of it. You know, even that whole story around the dishwasher, you know, like I said, 5 years ago, before I had the awareness around this whole thing called the truth, I would have been triggered for sure. I would have got upset. I would have probably said something like, well, I'm never going to load the dishes again. If you don't like the way I'm doing it,
you do it.
You do it. And that doesn't do anything. That's counterproductive, at least to me.
Yeah.
Versus kind of chuckling at it, knowing that, you know, as gifted as my wife is, she does not have the truth how to load a dishwasher.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that
brings up sort of the other side of that coin, and that is when you're on the receiving end of being should on, need to.
Yes.
I disagree with you.
Yeah.
And how you handle that, because that's often just as important as on being on the other side.
Yeah, it is, and it's great. You know, I get that question a lot, and my answer would be humor.
Humor.
Apply humor.
Okay. How so?
Well, once I'm aware that they're shooting on me, I can either react and have the experience I'm not enough, which is what creates the reaction. Somebody's challenging my enoughness. That's what actually creates, when somebody shoulds on us, they believe they have the truth for me.
Mm.
And essentially they're challenging my enoughness. Like I'm too daft or stupid to figure it out on my own. So I can chuckle at that.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I think it does. Yeah. I mean, I think it's probably something that's going to take some practice.
Again, awareness is the first point of choice.
Yeah.
A lot of my clients, not through my coaching or counsel, have created like a should bin in their kitchen, where they have a bucket, and every time somebody shoulds on somebody else, they throw a buck in the bucket for shooting on somebody.
Oh my gosh.
To create awareness. I'm not kidding. I mean, I didn't.
Yeah.
And they swear it works. I have probably a half dozen people that are doing that right now.
Yeah.
Clients. And that's also applying humor and lightheartedness to it. I don't want to take this so seriously that I can't get out of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you know, in general, I think that's an overarching belief of mine. Where can we come with lightheartedness and a little more humor to life? There's a lot of seriousness going on in our world. It's a very, very serious game.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's no problem with being really serious, but there is some side effects that are pretty predictable. We close down, literally our blood vessels constrict, we get constricted, love and affinity is constricted, we're holding on to that. It's a very serious game. And, you know, so, you know, I just think having the truth is a very serious thing. Like, I got the truth, man. I'm right. You're wrong. That's a win-lose proposition. And I'm not a big fan of that anymore.
So it's okay, because there could be circumstances where you're at work and, like, you just know that this is the way that something needs to be done.
Yeah.
But rather than shooting on them, saying I need to, it's, hey, here's an alternative way to do it. Or have you considered trying it this way?
Yeah. Here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, you know, this is what we're going to do. There's certainly times when leaders, parents, that's just the way it's going to go.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do versus you should do it this way. Here's what we're going to do.
Being decisive. And, yeah.
I'm all about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that sets a good context for the whole podcast series.
Sure.
Where is there? And, you know, if anybody has any questions, please email me. I'd love to, or a different perspective. Again, I don't have the truth, so I love pushback. I love a different perspective. I welcome that.
Yeah. That's great. And it's a great way to kick this off. This first step of 1,000 miles,
10,000 hours,
10,000 hours. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, this is great. People can find out more information at toddmusselman.net.
Yep.
And, we'll have the next podcast out.
Well, if we're going to do 10,000 hours, Jay, probably tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Or maybe not. Or sometime this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, gang.
Yep.